Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
Marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does
Barack Obama nor I support redefining the Constitution.
Our limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my decision.
Smoke could be seen for blocks away. And protesters hurled trash cans and flash bombs at the Capitol. The bill is working intense partisan fighting.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Bob and Weave. I'm Bob Ruff.
And I'm Zach Weaver.
And this week, we're going to do something a little bit different. As we mentioned, kind of the outset of the show, we're going to be trying to jump back and forth through different things. We're going to try to get in, one episode a month or so that's true crime related. And actually, we've done three so far. We did Botham Jean and Rodney Reed and the Epstein episode last week.
Yep.
And then we're trying to, once a month or so, try to do something fun, hence the Bigfoot episode. And something we're going to do now it's going to take us a few months to get through this, I think. But one of the purposes of us doing the show is to try to educate people in a lot of ways, and ourselves included. Don't think that we mean that, we know it all.
And oh, absolutely.
We want to mansplain everything to you guys.
Because most of the time I don't know shit.
Or me. It depends who... Now, this week, I did the bulk of the research. Last week was on Zach, so I'm the one that's supposed to know stuff this week.
Mm-hmm.
But, we are taking topics that we think that people, ourselves included, should be educated on.
And not only educated on, but I think making sure you open that dialogue to everybody.
Yeah.
That it's okay to talk about this, and we need to talk about it.
Sure. And so, for me, one thing that is, and I'm sure for a lot of you, on the forefront of our minds is the 2020 presidential election. And of course, the Republican side, as of right now, is pretty much locked in. It's going to be President Donald Trump will be running for re-election. The Democrat side, on the other hand, is in the phase of every election where it's just an absolute mess. I think there was 20 some candidates.
That sounds right.
At the 21 candidates at the first debate. And a few of them are starting to whittle their way down. But for me, I'm looking, going into this election, trying to get a good understanding of all of these candidates so I can make an informed decision when it comes time to vote. So what Zach and I decided to do was, not every episode, this will be a series of Bob and Weave that'll be the presidential candidates.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take us, like I said, months. We're going to, we'll pepper these in every few episodes. We'll do one. And our goal is to take each time we do an episode about the presidential candidates, to take one of them and do an entire episode on that candidate. Everything from their bio, their personal information, where they're from, what their resume is, if they've been a sitting congressman, what their voting record is, and what their platform is. And we have a few rules in this. And the first one is, this is not about any other candidates.
Sweet. I didn't know we had rules. Right. So you're just adding rules on me now.
Right. Yeah, I figured that out right before we sat down.
Oh, okay.
But meaning we don't want to make this negative. I don't want to. One thing that is frustrating me as someone who is really kind of looking at the Democratic field right now to see, is there someone that's going to rise out of that group of people that I may want to vote for? But as I'm watching the debates, it's like 99%. Of all of their positions that's coming out in the debate is, I'm not Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Donald Trump, and I want to undo everything Donald Trump does. So I don't want to do that. I also don't want to, kind of peg them against each other. Or my hope is that somebody who's interested in a particular candidate can come to one of our episodes and say, well, I want to know about, and for example, today's episode is about Senator Cory Booker, who is still in the running. He's low in the polls right now. I think he's got about 3%.
I have no idea. Honestly, up until we decided to do this episode, I didn't even know who he was or that he existed.
Right. And you're not alone.
So I'm excited. Actually, I did see that. I saw that today that 58% of the people polled knew who he was. So they knew he existed. 58%. That's not, there's 42% people of like me
that don't know,
that don't even know he exists.
Right. And of that, and understand that 58% is people who just know that, you know, the next question is like how many people know what he stands for, and that drops significantly.
I'm really excited to dive into these and to really break down each candidate, not in the negative way, but just see what they're about.
Right. So yeah, that's the hope, is that you can come in and say, okay, what's Cory Booker about? And you can come listen to this and get in an unbiased look at where he stands on certain issues. And again, without, you know, comparing him to other candidates or being negative about things. We'll certainly have opinions as we go along on where they stand on certain things. But the primary purpose is just to give a clear, factual analysis of these people as a candidate. And the reason we're starting with Booker is we kind of decided at this point, you know, we are just under a year away from the election. We got a long way to go. We got caucuses and primaries that are going to be coming up here in the next couple of months. So I wanted to start with the people that are maybe low down on the list, because that list is going to whittle down as time moves along.
And let me also preface this by saying, Bob and I are not political experts by any means. We're two average guys that are going to sit down and look at this and talk about it.
Right.
So we're not experts in this by any means. Please don't take it as our expert opinion. It's two guys sitting down and discussing this.
I thought that they were just going to listen to us and then vote for who we told them to vote for.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Right. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think that'll happen either. But I also don't want people jumping down our throat when we say something because they think we're experts on this when we're truly not.
Right. And if I know one thing, I know that someone's going to be upset with us about something we say today.
100%.
Happens every time.
100%. Every time people get offended by words.
Yeah.
Just words.
As an aside, we always joke every week when we record Truth and Justice, we take bets on which thing is going to be the thing that offends someone.
And usually it's not the right thing.
Right. This week one, I don't even know if I told you this yet, this one really got me, or if you saw it.
I did see this one.
Somebody went on the Truth and Justice page and said, I am offended. I feel like you have taken advantage of the word million. When in the 20, I'm guessing because the 2020 episode I was on aired again this weekend, and then we were talking about my audience size of Truth and Justice, and they said, you're taking advantage of the term million when you said that your audience size is a quarter of a million. The reality is your audience size is only 250,000.
Yeah.
That's 750,000 away from a million. Now, typically, I just try not to engage with these trolls when they do it, but I couldn't. No. I said, well, I don't know. I guess amongst other things, I said, why do you say a quarter instead of 25 cents? Are you taking advantage of the dollar when you say that? And then this person replied and they were like, well, you know, it's just funny that you're taking shortcuts for somebody that supposedly is out seeking facts. Like, well, 250,000 and a quarter of a million are the same thing.
Are indeed the same thing.
And that is a fact.
I'll tell you the one that got me is when we talked about the fact that there, I had a chance that I thought I was going to have to put down a dog to protect my child. And I was,
we were sure that was going to be it.
Sure that was the thing that was going to get. And then people were upset that you scared your wife.
Right. Yeah. In that same episode, I just told a funny story about how I like to just hide and stand in a corner when my wife walks out. It spooks her.
I was confident that it was the dog thing, and it wasn't.
We never see it coming. Anyway, that, once again, that bit's for free. And here comes the real podcast. So, yes, we are going to talk about Mr. Cory Booker, who is currently a U.S. senator. I guess I'll start by kind of going through his bio.
Sounds good.
Since you don't have notes in front of you and you don't know his bio.
I took notes in my head this time.
Right. So Cory Booker was actually born in Washington, D.C., April 27th, 1969. Both of his parents were big-time executives at IBM.
I did see that.
Both of them. His parents are Carrie and Carolyn Booker.
So it sounds like he comes from a semi-wealthy family.
Yes.
Just from hearing that. So
yeah, he does. He did come from a wealthy family. And he went to college. I knew he went to college at Stanford for his undergrad. I didn't know that he went to Stanford on a football scholarship.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So he had, I couldn't find anything about his actual football career, if he ever actually played. But he had a football scholarship to Stanford. That's where he got his undergrad and his master's. He was actually a Rhodes Scholar.
Okay.
And then he went to Yale for law school. Which is, so we can start off here. And by the way, this is the case with most politicians, and it really
they're football players.
Most of them went to college to play football.
Okay,
and that's what most people don't know.
Yeah,
but I get frustrated when I see people talking about any of these politicians. George Bush was George W. Bush was a big one. People were like, oh, he's stupid. He's an idiot. The bumbling. Like, none of these people are stupid. Cory Booker, like the most of the people that are running for president, I mean, I guess, no, I'm not even going to say that in this one. Some people you could say lack some intelligence, at least in certain areas, and certainly they all do. But most of them, these are lawyers, successful business people. I mean, most of these people have an intelligence level, at least when it comes to academia, much higher than me, for sure.
Definitely for me. I draw pictures for a living.
But, you know, so I guess as one good thing is to put on, you know, the table here is it's pretty clear Cory Booker is a smart guy, you know, so, you know, undergrad master's at Stanford, Rhodes Scholar, graduated law school at Yale. Fun fact, Booker's actually a vegan.
Oh, okay.
Just putting that out there.
Yeah, okay.
I read it, so why not say it, even though it's not necessarily part of his presidency. But yeah, he became a vegetarian in 1992 and then in 2014 switched over to veganism. Veganism? He's a vegan.
This is like me trying to say how many Bigfoots there were.
Right. Right. Big feet.
Big feet.
So anyway, he graduates law school in 1997. Right out of law school, he went to work as a staff attorney at the Urban Justice Center in New York City. What I find interesting about Booker's kind of life story is he started out, you know, he was raised in a pretty affluent family, it seems like, and, you know, obviously went to the best Ivy League schools. But then he goes to work at this Urban Justice Center. And then also he lived in Newark, actually, in New Jersey. And he lived in like a housing project, like a defunct housing project.
I did see that. And pretty much like. Up to the point that they tore it down, he lived there.
Yeah, he moved out. Like, they tore it down within a year of him moving out. And I don't know if that was by choice or whatever the reason was. But, you know, to me, anytime somebody has been through some struggles, I tend to tune into them a little more.
Yeah.
You know, I have a hard time with a lot of these politicians that are, you know, talking about what the middle class needs. And they're people that have never, you know, they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. And have never experienced financial hardship. Never worked a hard day's work. When I say hard day's work, you don't have to swing a hammer to do a hard day's work. But I'm talking they've never gotten dirty at work.
Yeah.
In their whole life, talking about what the people that live a completely different lifestyle need.
And he seems to be a man of the people. That's one thing I did notice, like, through my research.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we'll get into that, but. There was a lot of things that I read about him that he really does seem like a man of the people. He wants to be out there.
Yeah.
You know, a big thing is he saved a woman for a burning house.
Yeah.
Like, that's not just any Joe Smo. You know what I mean? That's somebody trying to make a difference.
I think he's, and I'm going to get into that as we kind of finish through the bio here. But yeah, I mean, he seems to me like genuinely he's a good human being.
Yeah, that's definitely what I read from him.
Which is interesting. It's eye-opening to me to really, like I said, a big reason for us doing this is, so that we can learn and doing some of this research, because you just look at these, you get little snippets of all of these politicians, right? They go on the debate stage, they're competing for a voice against all those other people. They get, you know, 120 seconds to speak. They're little sound bites, little tiny blurbs on the news. They don't really get a feel for who they really are without spin. And yeah, he seems like he's a good guy. So he, out of law school, 97, staff attorney, I said that. And then in 1998, he was elected in Newark, which, again, that's New Jersey. Newark is New Jersey. It's not far from New York City, just kind of across the border. But he was elected as a city councilman there, and he served for 4 years from 98 till 2002. In 2002, he became a partner at a law firm, and the law firm is Booker and a bunch of other names.
Yeah, as they always do.
Right, and I would say the names if I was sure I could pronounce them all, but I'm certain that I can't.
Bobbert and Weaverton?
Yeah.
That's my new name for us, Bobbert and Weaverton.
Right, that's our law firm. So that's 2002, he becomes a partner. He stays at the firm until 2006, and he left the firm because he was elected mayor of Newark. And he served as mayor until 2013, and that's when he won a special election to become a U.S. senator. A Frank Lautenberg was the senator in New Jersey, and okay. He passed away, so there was a special runoff election. And Booker wins that, so he leaves the law firm, and now he was mayor. Leaves the mayoral seat and becomes a U.S. senator.
Is that a word? Did you just make that up, mayoral?
It is a word.
Okay. I didn't know if you just made that up. That's not like a word you just made up.
I hope that's a word.
Mayoral.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a word. What happened there is I got way too committed to that sentence. And
I liked it. I couldn't stop,
and that was the only one that
I liked
word
it.
That fit. So then this gets into this man of the people stuff you were talking about. Mm-hmm. While he was mayor, and he was mayor, like I said, from 2006 until 2013, he was definitely known as a man of the people. He was known to go out and people could call him, and he would go out and personally shovel driveways.
That's awesome.
Shovel snow out of driveways.
I need that dude's phone number.
Yeah.
He's going to come shovel my driveway.
Yeah. Well, I think he's a little busy now.
Yeah, I guess maybe right now.
But back then. So he's out shoveling driveways for people. And during Hurricane Sandy, when a bunch of people were affected by the power outages, mm-hmm. there were mass power outages on the East Coast, he was inviting residents into his home.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then he's got a couple of crazy stories. One, he actually chased down a bank robber.
Yeah.
At one point. I didn't hear how that ended up, but yeah. He took off after him. But the coolest one is the one that you brought up. And this is where the world is so damn jaded. And mm-hmm. So I see this story, you know, that when he was mayor, Cory Booker as mayor, saves a woman from a house fire. And of course, the first thing you see is a bunch of videos from people. Either videos of him talking about it afterwards, and then the comments are people be like, oh, he's an attention hog and he's trying to do this and what an asshole. I will tell you what. I saw some videos in the information, the details of what he did.
Mm-hmm.
As a fireman for 15 years, he is a hero. He's nuts, but he's a hero. So what happens is he's coming home. This was in his neighborhood in Newark. He's coming home and he sees this house is on fire, his neighbor's house, and the police, the fire department's not there yet. And he has, because he's the mayor, he has a security detail with him.
Okay.
The security, and he says, she's in there, his neighbor's in there, I've got to go get her out. And he says, I can't allow you to do that. And he's like, no, I'm going in there. We got to get her out, she's going to die in there. And he's like, I'm not allowed to let you do that. And he said, well, I'm going anyway, because if I don't, she's going to die. And then the security officers, okay, just lets him mm-hmm. go. I don't know if he could have stopped him. Cory Booker, the football player, I've seen him standing next to a security detail person. He's about a foot taller than the guy. So I'm pretty sure he wasn't going to stop him.
Yeah.
But he runs up, and the way it was described, he goes up the stairs, places on fire, black smoke everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to like the kitchen, and it's hot. They're saying 150, 200 degrees. I'm guessing hotter than that just from being in fires like that.
Yeah.
The fire, he says, really starts to take off. I mean, probably in another room, there's something called a flashover occurred. Starting to get really hot in there. Can't find, he originally, I think, heard her, and then he got up there, couldn't find her. And then she had went back into a bedroom, and he goes and finds her, grabs her, throws her over his shoulder, and then carries her back through the fire, down the stairs, and outside.
That's pretty incredible.
It's amazing. And then people were like, he's just an attention hog. Like, no, like, that is fucking heroic.
Yeah.
For real. And I can tell you from someone who has been inside many fires
mm-hmm.
with protective gear and a couple times without, and that's no joke. It's not like on TV, folks. It's not like, you know, there's, you know, backdraft where there's some fire on the floor and you can't see anything, first of all.
Are you telling me that movie's not real?
It's not. I love it, but it's not real. It's terribly fake. Most firefighter movies are terribly fake. Because you can't make a good firefighter movie?
Why?
Because you know what it looks like inside of a fire in reality?
Fire.
Take your hands
mm-hmm.
and put them over your eyes.
It's dark.
That's what it looks like inside of a fire.
Which Baldwin's in that movie?
Is that Steven in that one?
Yeah, I think you're right, Steven. That sounds right.
Yeah.
I'm good at these rabbit holes.
Yeah, let's talk about Backdraft for another half hour now. But yeah, it's you can't make a good firefighter movie because you can't see anything inside of a fire. And this is not something that was built up and spun up to be more than it was.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the hospital in critical condition with second degree burns all over her back. You know, he had a couple burns on his hands. Didn't look, seem like anything too significant.
Okay.
But I mean, her back's covered in second degree burns. It was hot. She was going to die in that fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he was close to dying in that fire because all of that black smoke is toxic.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm surprised he was able to get in and out as well as he did without just collapsing. Because I've had a few instances where I would show up to a fire and, you know, in my, especially when I was chief,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I'm driving my SUV and happen to be in the neighborhood when the call comes out, stop without gear, and you try to run in to help somebody or do something without gear on. And you can't make it very far.
Yeah.
Before it's just really the heat and the toxic smoke will overwhelm you.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that, I mean, maybe I'm just making this up, but don't they say that's way more deadly, the smoke inhalation is way more deadly than the actual fire for a person?
For sure. It always has been, but since, you know, building construction trends changed in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
everything's plastic and synthetics now. So essentially everything is made out of these fuels, these petroleum-based fuels that turn into just these toxic chemicals when they go into the air. So
okay.
But yeah, most people don't burn to death. Most people die of smoke inhalation. They're breathing in superheated toxic gas into mm-hmm. their lungs, and that's usually what kills them. But anyway, it's an interesting story, and it's like I said, I saw where people give the guy shit about it, but it's like it's ridiculous. Like, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not pointing at Zach right now. I'm talking to the random people that are, of course, he wouldn't either.
He did kind of point at me.
Right. But just the random people who
No, you're right.
Who would say that. Like, most people wouldn't. Mm-hmm. You know, I probably would because that was my job for 15 years and I know how to move around in a fire like that. But as a random citizen without any training.
Yeah. You'd like to think you would, but I don't. You probably wouldn't.
Well, I'll tell you right now, there was a whole street full of people that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
There was a trained security who was a police officer, I believe. He didn't. The only one that did was Cory Booker. So for that alone, I think the guy's is a human being is a stand up guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is a stand up character. Whether or not you agree or disagree with his politics, the guy's out shoveling snow for his constituents. He's chasing down bank robbers.
If I had a chance, I'd buy this guy a beer. Tell you that much.
I'd like to have a beer with him and talk to him.
Yeah, for sure.
I think after we get into his income later, he can buy.
Oh.
No. Okay, so anyway, moving forward, pretty much he was a beloved mayor. Now, there were people that had issues with him as a mayor because, you know, he was trying to fix a defunct school system, mm-hmm. their education system.
Didn't he petition or get Facebook to donate a bunch, like $100 million or something to their school system?
Crazy amount of money.
That's crazy.
And then it's so hard because there's so much negativity in the world just in general.
Mm-hmm.
But there were people just saying, well, it didn't work and the school system didn't get any better. It's like, well, he can't teach every kid himself. He's doing something. What I like to see is, kind of the premise of Bob and Weave when we started is the fact that even though people have different ideas on how to do something,
mm-hmm.
usually they're all working towards the same good. In Cory Booker's case, he saw a problem. He's trying to fix the problem, took legitimate steps to fix the problem. Now, if it didn't fix the problem, I don't fault him. Like, if his plan was implemented and it didn't work, that's not a negative to me,
mm-hmm.
because he took action. He took action and put in place a plan that he thought would work, that looked like it would have worked.
Okay.
I don't know all the details about it, but what I saw was exactly what you said. Like, he was able to raise money and put a lot of things in place to try to make Newark a better place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's doing something.
Well, exactly that. Like you said, him being able to get the money for the schools and the schools not succeeding, that's not necessarily his fault. Like,
right.
He got the money.
Yeah.
He was able to donate it to the schools to get the schools the funding they needed. Now, if the schools didn't allocate those properly or whatever, that's not on him, you know? And
right.
I'm not putting blame on the schools either, but that's, to put it back on him is really harsh.
Yeah. And I think it's just people just look, I think there are, we've talked about this a lot, and as we get closer to the election next year, we'll talk more about this, but I will just say this. I think that as someone who is an absolute independent,
mm-hmm.
and is watching everything that's going on right now between the political candidates, and the way they're campaigning, the way the debates are going, and even this impeachment process that's going on right now, I will just say this. I think that someone in the DNC needs to wake up. I think they are making a terrible mistake, because this is the thing. There's this bell curve. There are a percentage of people that are left-wing Democrats, diehard, that are going to vote for whatever Democrat they put in there. If they put Adolf Hitler reincarnate and he ran as a Democrat, there's a percentage of Democrats that would run, that would vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is true on the right. There are extreme right-wing Republicans that are going to vote for whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Same story. Adolf Hitler's, you know, reincarnate clone runs as a Republican. They'll vote for him and they'll defend him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll defend everything he did. They'll spin it. Those people don't matter. When I say that, what I mean is, when it comes to campaigning, they don't matter. You're not going to change their mind. Either of those factions on either side. The election is going to be won and lost by the people in the middle.
You're absolutely right.
By the not just the independents, but from the moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans that consider themselves Republicans, but they're open-minded enough that if there was a Democrat running that really aligned with their beliefs and views, that they would cross over. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. What I'm seeing happening from the Democratic Party right now is, or the Democrat Party right now, is everything they're doing is to rile up their base.
Mm-hmm.
Those people that are so far to the left, they would never not vote for them anyway. And so they're being very extreme. 90% of those debates are about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and they're pissing off the people on the right, and everybody on the left's cheerleading for them. I think those people on the left tend to be the most vocal on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they think there's more of them than there are,
mm-hmm.
which is why no one saw Trump winning the election coming, because those people in the middle tend to be quieter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think based on social media and the polling, they're like, oh, Hillary's going to win with a landslide. And then all of a sudden, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think they're pandering to that base. And I think they're going to be, I think it's a mistake. I think they're alienating the moderate Republicans, the moderate Democrats, and the independents are sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to hear what you're going to do.
Yeah.
So I hope now, Grant.
Yeah, if you can go forward and try to sway those votes.
Right.
That's how you're going to win an election.
Yeah, and it's frustrating for me, the guy that lives in the middle,
mm-hmm.
because I'm tuning into these debates and things, and I'm like, I want to know, like, what are we really going to do here? Do I want to vote for any of you?
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it. You don't like Trump. I understand. Okay, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's another topic for another day. That's another free bit for you. You guys can have your money back for that.
We're going to have a lot of those in here today.
Yeah.
Which I like. I like rabbit holes.
Yeah. But so, getting back to Booker himself, and I don't even remember how I got down that rabbit hole, but I guess the next step is to kind of look at, so he's been a senator since 2013, so he's been a senator for 6 years.
Okay.
Let's take a look at his record as a senator. Now, I will tell you, if you want to go through his full voting record, there's a website called govtrack.us. That's govtrack.us, and you can get the voting records there from anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to look at that website.
And the only reason I'm not going through it all point by point is because it's not super exciting with Booker.
Yeah.
You know, meaning there's not some big gotcha there where it's, mm-hmm. like, you know, he's saying he wants to tear down the wall now and he voted for the wall. There's none of that yeah. I saw. Some significant things in his record as a senator is in 2017, and this is going to be another Bob and Weave topic at some point. He introduced a bill to remove marijuana from the federal government's list of controlled substances.
Okay.
So this isn't necessary. I guess part of that is legalizing marijuana, mm-hmm. which has been done in many states, ours included.
Yep.
I'll tell you, I'm not a marijuana smoker.
Neither am I, but it was legalized here, and it seems to have positive effects.
Yeah. I voted for it.
100%. I voted for it as well.
I believe it should be legal, and that's a whole nother topic that we're going
to
cover.
I like that they totally stereotyped me when I went in to vote for that.
Uh-huh.
And when I went in, the lady told me where it was on the ballot.
Because for those of you that only listen and don't watch, Zach is covered in tattoos from head to toe with earrings.
Yep. I walked in and the lady, you know, handed me the thing and she said, I can't remember what the proposition number, Prop 12. Prop 12's on the back. Like, that's exactly what she said as she handed it to
me. You're here for the marijuana.
Yep. It's on the back.
Yeah, because it was, because there was a lot of people that were, because it wasn't a presidential year election last year. So typically numbers are way down. Yep. And so all of a sudden all these, you know, that's us stereotyping. I don't know what marijuana smokers look like, but those guys.
But I'm sure I look like one.
I'm sure.
If an old white lady is going to stereotype me, I look like one.
Yeah, you look like one for sure. But I'm sure the demographic of the people that were coming in to vote looked different than the people that were there 2 years ago for the presidential election.
If only people knew how, like, nerdy white dad I am, sports dad.
Right, cries at every movie.
Cries at every movie.
Just talking about that today.
I look way tougher than I really am.
Yeah. Anyway, this marijuana bill, it's 2017, he introduces a bill to remove marijuana from the federal government's list of controlled substances. The bill's titled the Marijuana Justice Act, and what I like about it a lot, besides the fact that I think it should be legalized, is it would also expunge federal marijuana offenses from criminal records.
So that's
an issue I have here in Michigan. So recreational use of marijuana was legalized last November.
Yep,
and so now it's legal, but our state prisons are still full of people that are in there on marijuana offenses.
Yeah.
Which makes zero sense. Can you imagine being one of those people?
Yeah, it'd be upsetting. It's pissed off.
It's like, I am sitting in prison, say, for the next 10 years.
For something that's legal.
For doing something that is 100% legal to do. Mm-hmm. It wasn't last year when I did it, but it's legal now.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's something to be said about that, too, because, you know, they still knowingly broke a law.
Mm-hmm.
But give me a fucking break. The whole point was, one of the points was that it's a colossal waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
Having marijuana be illegal is one of the arguments. And I understand that. By the way, I know there's people listening that feel the opposite about this issue. And again, we are going to do an episode about it. But the point of the bill, one of the ways they've got it passed was how much money we're spending in law enforcement, in our prisons, in the jail cells, in prosecuting attorneys, all the money we're spending for weed, you know. So, but now there's some people that are still paying these people to be in prison. Anyway, his bill would release those people and expunge their records.
Okay.
Now these were federal crimes.
Okay.
Because you know the federal government obviously doesn't have control over the states in that way. But that bill, is last I checked, from what I could find, it looks like that bill still in committee or went to committee. I don't know if it came out of committee.
Okay.
But it's definitely not a law yet. Another big one was, and here's something again, that those factions, the people that, you know, the extremes on either side.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. Probably 99% of you, 90% of you listening right now, just absolutely hate Donald Trump. But even a blind acorn finds a squirrel every now and then.
Okay.
And
that was interesting.
My point being, another aside, is one thing that to me loses all credibility with people, and it drives me fucking crazy, is people that are unwilling to concede that someone they don't like did something right.
Mm-hmm.
You lose credibility. In my eyes, you lose credibility. So no one on the left that I know, and I know a lot of people, the majority of the people that I'm close with, at least in the internet's world, that I'm friends with, are all pretty far extreme left wing. Nobody wanted to talk about the fact that President Trump last year actually signed a criminal justice reform bill into law. And it was a good one. And they're adding to it now. It was called the First Step Act, and that entire title is an acronym, and I don't
really
have it in front of me. Yeah, like it's the federal, FIRSTSTEP. That's all a big long acronym.
Oh boy.
But it's a criminal justice reform bill, and Booker sponsored it or endorsed the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, and it was like I said, it was bipartisan. There were people from both sides that came together, which is
great to see.
Yeah. And Trump signed it into law. And he had, Kim and Kanye, encouraging him to do that, but he did it. It had to do with prison reform.
Okay.
And I think the intention is for it to continue forward to get more into sentencing reform.
Okay.
But Booker actually added an amendment to it, limiting the use of solitary confinement for juveniles in federal custody. Recidivism rate, which is people who get out of prison and then end up back in prison.
Say that word one more time.
I'm not going to.
Holy cow, that was a good word.
You only get it once.
That was a good word.
I always say it wrong. That's why I'm not going to say it again.
That was a good word.
Recidivism.
Boom. I wouldn't have got it. Wouldn't even been close.
But it's a good bill. It allows for funding for programs mm-hmm. for inmates when they're in prison, for them to gain skills. It's their programs to help them find jobs when they get out.
Yeah, I saw that part, which is something I think is really good, is to be able to help them get jobs when they get out.
Yeah, because it's tough. We've had two of our subjects on Truth and Justice, both Ed Eights and George Powell,
mm-hmm.
have both been released within the last year. Ed was pretty blessed, and he got a job quickly,
mm-hmm.
a lot of jobs, actually. He had a lot of support, and he was a major subject of our podcast for a year and a half. I think that played into it, but I mean, he's working for the city of Dallas now.
Yeah.
But he came right out of the gate and had full-time jobs, boom, boom, boom. George, on the other hand, was just a short miniseries. He mm-hmm. wasn't a big part of our show. We just covered his case for about 6 weeks. He got out, and he's really had a hard time getting a job with that felony on his record.
Yeah.
His conviction's been overturned, so he has a pending felony charge on his record, and it's been tough for him, But this program is supposed to put programs in place to help inmates or prisoners get jobs when they get out, put a lot less restrictions on convicted felons.
Okay.
In a lot of ways. That act, if you want to look it up, is called the First Step Act. I think there's another version then that was like the Second Step Act, or mm-hmm. they're continuing to add to this. And I personally find it really refreshing to see that there are both Republicans and Democrats and President Trump have all worked together to continue putting out this criminal justice reform.
You're absolutely right. I mean, that's incredible. That's really great to see.
Yeah. So then that moves us into there's not a whole lot bad about Booker. He's broke some Senate rules a couple times.
Okay.
And in his, at least from what he says, in his mind, it was for good reason.
He was the first person to step out against another seated senator, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was during one of the cabinet confirmations. It was Jeff Sessions,
mm-hmm.
Who was a sitting senator, and he broke Senate rule or broke Senate precedent, I think, in that case, and spoke out against him mm-hmm. during his Senate confirmation hearing or his cabinet confirmation hearing.
Yeah.
And then he had the I am Spartacus moment during the Kavanaugh hearings. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with that. I saw something about it, but I'm not familiar with it. And like I said, up until we researched this, I didn't know this guy existed. So I'm happy we're doing this.
Yeah. So he essentially, and I don't know all the details. I was just much because I didn't know about this.
Okay.
I was researching it prior to recording this episode. But apparently there was a Senate committee during the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings for him to become a Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that whole thing.
Oh, that fiasco, yes.
Yeah, with the sexual assault accusations and the whole hearings. Well, evidently there was a Senate subcommittee or Senate committee that meets about how they're handling the confirmation or whatever it was. And there were some emails passed around, and Booker thought that the emails, this is what I gathered from it. There's more to this because he was supposed to present evidence at a certain time and he didn't. But he wanted to release these emails to the public. And now there are these are not precedents. These are clear rules in the Senate. What happens in committee is private. It is not to be shared.
It's like Fight Club.
Right. You just don't talk about
it. You talk about it. What happens in Fight Club stays in Fight Club.
Right. Yeah, it's like the Senate Fight Club, these committees. But this is a big deal, like because they openly imagine this is in a place where you have a very official position, but then you can get together and you need to have a space where you can have open conversations.
Okay.
and not worry about, you know, that spilling out to the public or whatever, mm-hmm. because at some point you got to come to an agreement about how we're going to move forward and handle the situation. So there were some emails, it had something to do with racial profiling or something like that, and Booker wanted to make them public. And there's recordings of him. You can find it. I couldn't find a concise one on YouTube. That's why I'm not playing it right now. They were all like mixed in with Glenn Beck talking this whole thing. But he's saying, look, I am knowingly breaking the Senate rules. I want to make these public. I'm going to make them public right now. Kind of stand, you know, that the public needs to know this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the public needed to know it. I don't even know what it was that he was putting out there, but he did violate the Senate rules. And, you know, in that speech, in that conversation, he said, this is the closest I've ever come to an I am Spartacus moment, that I'm going to basically fall on my sword, you know, because he could be removed from the Senate for breaking that rule.
Okay.
And wanted to, he ended up leaving the hearings, that he won't be a participant. He wouldn't participate in something in what he thinks is going to be remembered as a dark moment in American history.
Interesting.
And so he left the hearings. Like I said, don't know the ins and outs of it all, but that's something that happened. I know he took a lot of shit for the I am Spartacus moment thing. But again, that's those people on the other side that are looking for a reason to be mad at. I listened to him say it, and I thought it was going to be something ridiculous, like him, like Elizabeth Warren having a beer when she announced her presidency. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
We'll have an episode on Warren. Nothing negative about Elizabeth Warren. But when she was announcing her presidency, if you know, you probably don't, you know who she is, mm-hmm. right?
I do know who she is.
She is the last person in the world that would ever, I don't know why I'm going down this rabbit hole, but it just stuck in my head when we're talking about how they were, essentially people were saying that Cory Booker was like being fake and showboating when he mm-hmm. did this, and he wasn't. He just said it just like that. He's like, if this is probably the closest I ever come to an I am Spartacus moment, but I will stand by this. That's all he said.
Yeah.
And people gave him shit for it. But I was the Elizabeth Warren thing. It was about the time she was announcing her presidency. She's standing in her house and she's like doing like a Facebook Live thing. She's like, I just wanted to check in with y'all. And you know, first I'm going to, I think she said, I'm going to get myself a beer
before I
talk about this. And she cracks open a beer and then her husband comes in and she's like, baby, you want a beer, baby? And it was the most fake. There is no fucking way this woman has ever, you know, like, you know, whatever, as far as her as a politician, her politics, as a person, that's nothing to do with it. But that stunt was exactly what they were talking about with him. Like,
yeah.
She's literally trying to be like, I'm not a rich white lady with a big, beautiful home that sits around sipping wine. Yeah. I'm just going to get me a beer with my husband. You have to – I will drop it into the video if I can find it and download it, because it was really something. Anyway, a lot of sidebars today.
I love it. That's my life. My life is a sidebar.
It's about how things work in your brain. Yeah. Just bounce around. But anyway, so that was like a negative thing about him, I guess. I don't think it was a negative thing about him.
I don't really see it as a negative.
I mean, it's kind of negative that he like knowingly broke the Senate rules.
Mm-hmm.
If it was for good reason, maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then you still got to, you know, there's still that juggle. Like those rules have to exist. We have to have some rules in order to maintain order. But that's, I don't know enough about it to get into it. But I do want to go over. So what I think is the most important for the people listening right now, or the people that are considering voting for Cory Booker, is his actual platform.
Okay.
So
not who he's dating. That's important to me.
Oh, you better tell everyone.
He's dating Rosario Dawson. Yeah. I found that out today. That's pretty exciting.
Understand that Zach and I have different key terms that we plug into Google when we're researching things. Because I researched Cory Booker for 2 days and wrote all these notes and outline. And I didn't know that he was dating Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. Within the first 30 seconds, I found out that he was dating.
It was the first thing you found.
It was.
That's weird. Yeah, that's why we get such a balanced discussion here.
It's perfect.
We research in different ways.
We sure do. But yeah, he's dating Rosario Dawson. Then they may get engaged. And she could be our first lady. That'd be an awesome first lady.
It would be.
That's probably not why you should vote for somebody, but
I'm just thinking, like, could you imagine? So that's interesting. For reals, though. Mm-hmm. Interesting, because that was one of the things people criticized Trump about, was Melania, who was a supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, do we really want our first lady being someone who people have seen posing nude and this and that? Rosario Dawson, I'm pretty sure, has shown a lot more skin than Melania Trump has.
Probably in some of the movies she's in, yeah.
I know for a fact in one movie she showed
yeah,
pretty much every bit of skin, which, hey, more power to her.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be interesting, the first lady.
Yeah.
Especially, I wonder how, and that's that like, if you want credibility with me, be consistent type mm-hmm. thing. Like, the people that are like, we don't want Melania Trump because she's posed nude.
Yeah.
What are you going to do if Cory Booker marries Rosario Dawson and she's the first lady?
It could be interesting.
I don't know anything about her. I just know that she is definitely a very, very attractive woman.
I like her as an actress too.
And she's a good actress. That's all I know about her. She could be a saint or an asshole. I don't know. I have no idea.
Probably not the reason you should vote for somebody, but I just had to put that out there. I was excited when I found it out.
Right.
Literally the first thing I found out.
It is funny. Didn't come up in a single one of my searches.
I don't know how you searched for 2 days and didn't find that.
I guess I didn't look at who his girlfriend was.
I didn't purposely do it. It just came up.
You went straight to the inquirer.com to start mm-hmm. doing your research.
The hot sheets.
Right. Okay. So platform. This is, if you're going to be voting for, aside for Cory Booker, or wondering if you should, aside from the fact that he's dating Rosario Dawson, is his platform. So this is according to, now, I'm not going to go through all of these for a couple of reasons. One, there's a lot. Two, some of them I don't fully understand.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to trade stuff. There's a lot of acronyms in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I don't understand.
I don't know what they mean, but I'll put those out there and we just won't talk about them, and maybe no one will notice that we didn't talk about them because we don't know what they mean.
Perfect.
Okay. So, but you can find these if you go to politico.com and /2020 elections. That'll be enough to get you there.
Bam.
But if you're looking at candidates' views on the issues, is what you're looking for. So this is on Cory Booker. So I'm going to pop over there. So and this is a really cool site. So again, if you go to politico.com, look for candidates' views on the issues. That each one individually, it breaks down a particular category of issues, and then it shows what their stance is, and it also shows you how many other candidates share that view.
Okay.
And who they are.
I do think that's one thing he was, I don't want to say criticized for, but that people are seeing with him is he's aligned with a lot of other candidates, which kind of pushes him out of the woodwork as a prime candidate because there's other candidates that have the same potential as him.
Yeah, he doesn't stand out.
Yeah.
I think the biggest mistake the Democrats made, it was about immigration, but it was either do you think that the crossing our border should not be illegal, or that undocumented immigrants should get free health care. Whatever it was, they said it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Something along those lines. And they're like, who believes in that? And they almost, and all of them like raised their hand. And it was this big, but the thing is, I don't believe all of them actually believe that. If you watch, I like to study body language
mm-hmm.
and human behavior. Watch them.
Yeah.
We'll go for that. I'm sure that clip's on YouTube. Watch their eyes and you see the look at like, They did it.
Who's raising their hand?
Yeah, I can't be the only one that didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, so they're, you know, they all just put their hands up.
Who's doing it?
But so I think a lot of them end up, they're getting, a lot of it has to do with the culture we're in right now that we've talked about a lot, where, those lines keep moving and what's acceptable. And people have just gotten like really mean about how they handle it when they disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure every one of those, because, you know, they're talking to mostly the left in these debates
mm-hmm.
who as I said tend to be not throwing shade, but they tend to be the vocal ones, and they tend to be the ones that are boycotting, and they tend to be the ones that make hashtags about you.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm sure all of them, every time they speak, you know, we joke around about how on Truth and Justice we were always like, oh, what are we gonna offend people about today?
Mm-hmm.
I have to imagine they are just white knuckled all the time.
Yeah.
You say the wrong thing and now you're blackballed.
Yeah, constantly.
Yep. And so that's why I wonder if that's why they all raised their hand to that, because mm-hmm. If they didn't raise their hand, then they were going to be the ones that were going to get attacked.
There's a new stand-up special by Eliza Schlesserman. She actually got married, but I don't know her married name because she still goes by Eliza Schlesserman. Uh-huh. And she's got a whole bit about that, about women aligning with women and just being terrified that they're going to say something against women that mm-hmm. they just keep. Yeah, it's exactly what you just said, where that line keeps moving. She's a whole bit about it, and it's really funny.
And for just so you guys know, we have an upcoming episode. We haven't recorded it yet, but one of the things we want to do an episode on is the what they call it now, the cancel culture, which is kind of like PC, the PC world and how it affects specifically comics and comedy. And I wrote Tom Segura a letter.
I'm so hoping.
And asked him to come on the show. And so far he hasn't emailed me back. But if you're listening, Tom.
Please.
We love you, Tom.
Yes.
I love you more than Zach does. He likes Bert better.
That's true.
Oh, you admitted it right on the air. Now he's not going to come.
I do love Bert. Bert's my best friend.
And for those of you, the guys that don't like comedy, that's Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer happen to be our two favorite comedians. Mm-hmm. Tom Segura happens to be traveling through Michigan here in about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get him in the studio here to record an episode with us. And
inside ball.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see how that works. Anyway, back to Cory Booker's platform. First of all, criminal justice. That's on the top of the list. For it.
Oh, maybe that's not the stance.
For it. Fucking idiot. All right. So criminal justice is the first section, top of the list. Capital punishment, death penalty. His view is to abolish it. And it says 17 candidates have similar viewpoints. And I'm just looking at pretty much all the big names that you know from running. They all seem to be wanting to abolish it, which I agree with that. Cash bail reform, he says he wants to end it. So that's in that are nine other candidates that think they should end cash bail. Which the idea behind that is cash bail, we've learned through our work of Truth and Justice that the inability to make bail, and if you factor that in with the rate of convictions as opposed to acquittals, it's a very clear line. If you can't get out of jail to help build your defense prior to trial, you are far more likely to be convicted.
Really? That's interesting.
Way more likely.
That's really interesting.
Yep. And so that's one thing in the Anand Syed case in season one of Truth and Justice. You know, they wouldn't give him bail, and so he was stuck in prison. You can only meet with your lawyer so much. You can't be out there helping, being a part of it. Just somehow, if you can't make bail, you're probably getting convicted. Just seems to go that way. Well, the problem is our criminal justice system is not supposed to be discriminatory, except for the people that can't make bail are the poor people.
Yeah.
They're also tend to be in of the percentage of poor people demographically in our country that are underclass happen to also oftentimes be minorities. And so there's, you know, they can't make their bail. And so they're getting, you know, shoveled down the chute of our corrupt criminal justice system. And so there's some candidates that want to end cash bail completely. Some people want to reform to the system. I think Texas did kind of a reform to their bail system. So again, episode for another day. But Cory Booker's position is to end cash bail.
Okay.
Cocaine sentencing disparities. Scrap the disparities. Not sure what that means, but that's his view on it. And even when I read about it, it says like he would eliminate crack cocaine sentencing disparity by reducing it from 18-1 to 1-1.
No idea what that means.
Right. And we don't have time to look it up.
That leads me to my next point, kids. Don't smoke crack.
Right.
Okay.
Mandatory minimum sentence reform is another one I agree with him on. He says that we should eliminate them. So he believes there should not be mandatory minimum sentences, and 10 other candidates agree with him. He also believes we should eliminate private prisons, which I also agree with.
I agree with that one as well.
Yeah. You shouldn't be making profits off prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Then we move into the economy. Affordable housing.
For it.
He's for
it. It's going to be a good episode.
Yes. He's for it. Making this very difficult. It says he believes in a combination of construction funding and rent subsidies. And five candidates agree with that. Income inequality.
What?
Income inequality.
Oh, gotcha.
He believes three other candidates have the same view. But he believes that we should raise tax on the wealthy and create new social programs. And that's also another one, Elizabeth Warren's big ones. She's the one that proposed the ultra millionaire tax. I'll tell you, here's my problem with this. Now, this is where I will tell you my views tend to lean more towards what would align with people on the right is I'm watching all these candidates come up and say, we need to tax the rich, the 1%, pay more, tax the, and they're villainizing anyone that makes a certain amount of money.
Mm-hmm. And these people make just under that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Cory Booker, for example, he has a net worth, according to Celebrity Net Worth, of about $3 million.
Okay.
His salary at the Senate is $174,000 a year. He wrote a book a few years back, and he's made over $1 million in royalties off that. And he's made over $2 million in speaking engagements.
Hmm.
I get really frustrated, and I'm not picking on Cory Booker or any of these other candidates in particular, because I think they all do it. But it's like, why are you deciding to draw the line right above you?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, you know, I don't make anywhere near $174,000 a year, and I don't have a net worth anywhere near $3 million. So to me, Cory Booker is the ultra rich.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he? He should pay 50% taxes.
Well, see, it's the ultra rich and the rich, and they want to tax the ultra rich.
Right. Because understand, most of those candidates you're looking at are multi. I was looking through them, and we'll get into all of them as we cover them. Almost every one of them are multi millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say all of them because I didn't look up everyone, but most of them.
Multi hundredaire.
But you know, it really drives me crazy when they're like, it's disgusting to make $1 billion. Well, you make $1 million.
Yeah,
that's not disgusting, that's fine. Well, says who? You?
Yeah,
because you make that. So what about, you know, I live a comfortable life. I think most people want to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Or make, you know they're striving to, you know, I won't say get rich, but to be comfortable.
Yeah,
you know, that's I would describe my financial situation as, you know, I'm comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I can afford my bills and I can go out to dinner with my kids and maybe go on a vacation a couple times a year. I'm mm-hmm. comfortable. That's all I want to be. You know, not that I wouldn't love to be rich.
Yeah.
But I'm happy right where I'm at. But just like me and anybody else, you're striving to make more. And then all these candidates they're just drawing the line right up, like you said, right above themselves and mm-hmm. saying everybody above there is demonized. But it's so hypocritical to me. And again, I'm not speaking specifically about Cory Booker. I'm talking about just really the lot of them, you know, that are always doing this. It's they need to pay more. You know, it drives me crazy listening to, you know, some of the candidates saying, you know, we should eliminate student debt. Like, well, practice what you preach.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, you make $4 million a year. You could pay off a whole, like you personally
mm-hmm.
could go make an impact on this problem with the money you have, but you're holding on to your money and saying, no, this amount of money is fine.
Yeah.
It's those people that are bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the economic different viewpoints in macroeconomics. I personally believe in a lot of people may give me shit for this, but that's just what I believe as I won't call myself an economist, but you know, I went to college for business and I studied economics.
I draw pictures for a living.
Right.
I just want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
But so one of Booker's, I don't want to speak out of turn here. I'm pretty sure one of Booker's positions on the economy, he does say he wants a $15 an hour minimum wage.
Okay.
He wants to raise tax on the wealthy and create more new social programs. He believes, and this is another one I have an issue with, support broad paid family and medical leave plans up to 12 weeks. Don't know the detail. If I understand how that works from some of the other candidates that have talked about paid medical leave, like I feel like this group in general is making a bunch of promises they can't keep.
Okay.
Because if you listen to them say, there's a few of them that are like, I'm going to do free college. Free healthcare and free this and mm-hmm. free this. And it's like they're pandering to a base saying, we're going to give you everything free. I will say, I will promise you, if any of them get elected, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It will never happen because free isn't free. Everything that they're saying is free has to be paid for. It has to be paid for with money from the government. The government doesn't have money. The government gets their money from us mm-hmm. through taxes. Again, I love the idea of some of these things, and some of them might work, but if you have this broad sweeping plan where everything's going to be free, I'm quite certain they don't believe it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, a few of them that are promising all of that stuff, that they're going to give you all this stuff for free. But so this Paid Family Medical Leave Act, it's a great concept. The fact that, you know, that you can get 12 weeks of paid family leave, but the reality of it is most of Americans are working for relatively small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll put my business, I only have one full-time employee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work with you and with Zach, and Becky helps out, but Mike is my only full-time employee. If Mike said, you know, if Mike's wife was sick and it was like, I got to take 12 weeks off,
mm-hmm.
3 months off, and I had to pay him for all that time.
Yeah.
Truth and Justice, NBI Studios would be gone.
Yeah.
It would collapse us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't, number one, Mike's irreplaceable. I've already told him he's never allowed to leave or be sick. That's not true. I treat Mike very well. He has a great benefits package. But in that instance,
he beats him. I'm sorry. I'm whistleblowing this. He beats him. This is my Spartacus moment.
There we go. There it is. But yeah, if it was mandated by law that I have to pay him for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
When he leaves, well, I can't afford to pay someone else to do his job during that. You know, so I mean, there's gray area in there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's something that I don't know enough about, but that's just when I see things like that, it gives me pause, but also understand that on that side. So we have, he believes there should be this support for paid leave up to 12 weeks. 12 other candidates also believe that or support that. On reparations, he says we should study reparations. And then we get into education. I know I said I was going to get to something and come back to it, and I'll come across it and remember here in a minute.
Sweet.
Charter schools, says he supports charter schools and accountability. Cost of college. Here's another one. He says students shouldn't have to take on debt. So, and then he, what's he say? Rather than finding ways to waive tuition in public colleges, some Democrats have thrown support behind proposals to make college debt free by increasing aid so students don't have to take out loans. So I guess that would be more in the forms of grants and things like mm-hmm. this. But I'm just, as I'm going through all these things,
I mean, it sounds great, but where's that money come from?
Right. And again, one or two, some of these programs may work, but when it's, so I'm just kind of keeping a tally like, okay, that's more money. This is more money. This is more money. And then kind of the what's been proposed is we'll just tax the ultra rich more to pay for all this. But, you know, that's, there are some theories that believe the ultra rich are the people that are employing all the other people. And if you collapse them, you collapse the economy.
Now, one thing I will jump in and say, and I don't know a lot about this, but I do know when he took over as mayor, they had a huge deficit, like $180 million deficit.
Right.
And when he left, it was a balanced budget.
Yeah. Not just a balance, but yeah, not just a deficit, but also a debt. And he, yeah. Or what you're right, it was deficit, which means year to year spending more than they're making building debt. But yeah, he turned that city. He really did.
So, I mean, there is something to say. I mean, I'm not saying that all these could work, but there is something to say that at least he's put into place some actions that have shown benefit.
This is one thing, one very positive thing I'll say about Booker to me is I've always said I don't think there's a senator or a congressman from the House of Representatives that can be president.
Okay.
Now, there have been lots of them that have been presidents.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say that is they've never been in charge of anything.
Makes sense.
You know, so a senator or congressman, their job is to come in and vote. You know, they put forward bills, they sit in committees, they, you know, they whip up votes, they vote. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of they've never been in charge of something. Like to me, usually if someone has been a governor or even a mayor, like that more closely represents the responsibilities of the office of the president, I think.
Okay.
And that's just my opinion. I just think that, and I'm not saying that there haven't been good presidents who have been senators. I just I don't see the leadership coming from them as the ones you see that had been a governor or a mayor.
Yeah. It aligns more with that.
Yeah. And so with Booker's experience as a mayor, that's a plus for me in my pro and con category for Booker. That's a plus. And then the second thing is to look, well, how did he do while he was in that leadership role? And it seems like he did very well. He did very well. And you know, I'm not saying he has my vote right now, but I will say it seems like he has potential to be a good president.
Mm-hmm.
Moving through the rest of his platform here, student debt, he wants to expand or fix existing debt relief programs. 15 of the candidates say the same thing. You know, there's a lot of the candidates that say, I think Bernie Sanders are the ones that we just wipe it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are trying to get rid of people's student loan debt. But again, that I'm still cha-ching. That's another, you know, as I'm trying to balance this out, how many things are costing us money. And another one, teacher pay. He said, believes that teachers should get tax credits anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000, depending on the amount of, what do they call it, low income students in mm-hmm. their school. Based on the number of those, they would get more tax credit. Again, great idea. My, you know, I have a lot of people I'm very close to that are teachers or in the teaching profession. Sounds great, but that's another, how many teachers are there in the country
mm-hmm.
that every, so understand a tax credit is not a tax deduction. It's credit, which means we're just giving you $2,000.
Yeah.
Up to $10,000 by how many millions of teachers there are in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's another massive bill.
But with that being said, that's honestly one that I can back. It is a massive bill, but teachers are so, you know, they need the help. They're so underfunded. They're so, they're not paid for what they do, or not well enough for what they do. I always will believe that.
I do too. And I've worked as a substitute teacher. My mm-hmm. wife was a paraprofessional at a school. My ex-wife, who's a close friend of mine still now mm-hmm. too, is a teacher. I believe the same thing, but
my sister is a teacher in an impoverished school right now, mm-hmm. a big impoverished school around here that is
right.
state ran to the point. You know right. what I mean? I get it.
Yeah. I do have a problem with at least some of the schools like that. It's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Like my ex-wife, you know, and to her credit, she's never been one of these people complaining about it, but there was a lot of people always complaining, teachers don't make enough money. Teachers are poor. She, when I was the fire chief,
mm-hmm.
as a teacher, she made more money than me.
Hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? So it's not quite the, and I sound like I'm disparaging teacher. I'm not. My point is we're going to give every single teacher in the country $2,000 to $10,000 tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
They need the help. What about the firefighters
mm-hmm.
who are making even less money and risking their life on a daily basis? The firefighters in Detroit, you talk about impoverished, that are fighting 15 house fires a night, working around the clock. Why don't they get a tax credit? The police officers, mm-hmm. you know, why aren't they getting it? You know what I mean? So it's like, why are we singling out the teachers? I know it's a fairness issue and maybe, but it's, I know what teachers make mm-hmm. and I know what public safety workers make, police, fire, and ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're pretty similar. Teachers typically make more, at least everywhere I've been involved in it. And to say, to single out the teachers or you guys get the tax credit for doing this hard work, which it, I'm not putting that down. It is hard work. But what about the rest of them
mm-hmm.
that also don't get 3 months a year off and, you know, all these other things? Anyway, again, topic for another day. This should be easy for you to find something to be offended by this yeah, week.
Pretty well.
Not you. You've sat there quite quietly and just let me run myself into the ground.
I've just interjected everything right. wrong.
Things like Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Campaign finance, unlimited spending should not be allowed in politics. Agreed. Electoral college. There's another big one. This has got to be an episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop commentating on these things. I'm just going to say what he believes. Electoral college. He believes it should be eliminated and 15 other candidates agree with him.
Next.
Can I just, okay. All
you
right.
just said you were
going. Okay. All right. Another episode. Felons voting. He believes that we should restore voting rights after prison. I 100% agree. I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I don't think after you've done your time, you get out, you shouldn't be able to vote. It's ridiculous. Nuclear power. He's in support of nuclear power. So
for
am I.
For it.
Oil and gas drilling. End new oil and gas leases on federal land and end offshore drilling. That's what he believes. And then we get into food and agriculture, farming economy. Strengthen enforcement, but stop short of trust busting with farm economy. We're well over an hour, so I'm just gonna.
No, we're good.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. People will listen.
I have to edit the video.
Oh yeah,
and it's Thanksgiving. Farming and climate change. Pay farmers to adopt climate friendly practices.
Okay,
makes sense. Another price tag. Gun control. I bet I get your attention now. Three gunner. Assault weapons. Supports a mandatory buyback program.
Can we talk about this?
Your thoughts.
Can we talk about this?
Yeah.
Assault is an action. It's not a weapon. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as an assault weapon.
Right.
So just so we have that clear.
Well,
I hate that term. I hate that term with a passion. I will get fired up right now about that term. There's no such thing as an assault weapon. Assault is an action that you take. It is not it is not a noun. It's not something you can place on something. It is not an assault weapon. These may be firearms. They can be modern sporting firearms. They're not assault weapons. And
And that's okay, good. Another episode. Anything else on the assault weapons?
Another episode.
Okay. And background checks in favor of universal background checks. I am actually in support of that.
I don't have a problem with it.
Weapons registry in favor of a gun licensing program.
Okay.
I agree with that too, personally. Abortion. He says there should be very few limits, if any.
Mm-hmm.
We've moved on to healthcare. Speaking of abortions, the Affordable Care Act coverage expansion plan. Do you see what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the Affordable Care Act. But I like Booker's view on it. His real view is the Affordable Care Act, meaning Obamacare, is that we should rethink the entire system or rethink and rework the entire system, which I agree with. I think the Affordable Care Act was a good concept,
mm-hmm.
poorly executed.
I agree.
Extremely poorly executed. Terribly poorly executed. Drug costs, support negotiating for Medicare, international reference pricing, and promoting generics. Medicare for all. He supports Medicare for all, but would accept Medicare for some. So that's another price tag.
Okay.
Now we move into immigration, DACA. He believes citizenship for dreamers and executive actions to help them legalize in the meantime. So the Dreamers Act, which we have a episode planned on immigration as well, but he believes that everybody that's already here, these dreamers should just become citizens and find a way to legalize them being here. Illegal entry into the United States. Him and 13 other candidates believe that we should repeal the statute.
Okay.
Meaning it should not be illegal to just come here without going through the process.
Hmm.
Another episode for another day.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I believe that was the question, if I'm not mistaken, where they all raised their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Where you know, a whole bunch of them in that crew raised their hand. I might be wrong on that, but yeah, that is definitely worthy, not just Cory Booker's views on it, but just in general of discussion on another day, because that's something. I mean, that's just to say we have laws about how you can get in here, but if you don't follow them, that's not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the border wall. He says he's open to tearing down parts of the wall that's already up.
Okay.
Which goes in hand with the other part. Now we move on to marijuana legislation. His view is very simple. He says we should legalize it.
Yep. Covered that.
Yep. 100% agree. Military defense spending. He says boost the defense budget, which I also agree with too. But again, that's another price tag.
Mm-hmm.
We're spending a lot of money. Overseas deployments, he says, to keep the troops deployed. Moving on to taxes, he proposes an increase in the capital gains tax rate, which I guess is starting to balance out all of the increased spending by getting some money back. Corporate income taxes, he wants to revert. This is what I was looking for earlier when we were talking about the taxing the rich and the idea of. You know, one school of thought is they should just the rich should pay more.
Mm-hmm.
The other school of thought is the rich are the job creators, so we need to, you know, keep money in their pocket so they can build more jobs in the economy. Not saying which one is right or wrong. Mm-hmm. You probably figured out I kind of have an opinion on that, but it is just an opinion. You know, there's certainly merits to either side of that. Anyway, in 2017, President Trump enacted the corporate. They really changed all of our tax brackets, but a big part of that was lowering corporate taxes.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to reverse that. One thing we can say for sure is since that was put in place in 2017, unemployment numbers have dropped to actual record lows, and the stock market has gone up to actual record highs.
Okay.
Now, but that's something that could course correct too, the stock market, because a lot of there's certain things that will cause spikes and valleys there that they're false numbers. So, you know, that could course correct, but it's been on a pretty steady climb. But I mean, the entire purpose of the corporate tax cut was to create jobs Mm-hmm. And whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, it's hard to argue the fact that it was successful. Unemployment dropped drastically after this. But he wants to reverse the corporate tax cut, which makes sense. His whole, his part of his platform is to create all these extra programs and to fund them with taxes on the higher income brackets, including corporates.
Okay.
Tax credits. He says expand the EITC. That's the earned income tax credit. Wealth taxes, boost taxes on wealthy Americans. And again, that's where who gets to decide who's wealthy. Because in my view, he's wealthy.
Yeah.
They're all wealthier than I am. Now we go to technology, rural broadband, looser broadband promises. Not sure exactly what that means. Social media says we need to address algorithmic bias. Which, what do you think about that? Just real briefly.
I mean, if it's stated the way that it sounds, I would agree with him. I mean, the algorithms really, as we talked before, that they put you in your little niche. And they really push your, you know, your own popular beliefs that you kind of get in your own circle. And they push these outside sources on you with the algorithms.
I 100% agree with that and 100% disagree with it, because where I have the problem is, or I have the question is, do I want the federal government coming into private companies, or I guess they're not, you know, even publicly traded companies, whatever, not government-owned companies like Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And telling them how to operate their business.
That's true. That's a way to look at it. I didn't think about looking at it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I like, it's a tricky one, mm-hmm. you know, because it's
didn't
like,
feel good about that. I saw it.
I like agree with both sides of it, because I think mm-hmm. the algorithms are really causing us a lot more harm than good.
Yeah. But on the outside, you don't want the government overreaching to a private company.
No, I think most people in our government are not good at managing things.
Damn you for opening my eyes.
Right. And so, yeah, I feel that, I don't know. Topic for another day. Next, tech competition and antitrust. Don't know what that means. I don't think he does either, because his position is we need more investigation first. Trade with China. He says support the goal, change the approach. I'm assuming he means the Trump's goal. You have to read about that. We're running so super long. NAFTA and USMCA, demand changes to USMCA. This is one I don't know what it means. TPP 2.0, oppose joining CPTPP or oppose TPP.
I don't know what you just said.
Did you get all that?
No, I have no clue.
Someone listening knows exactly what that is. And that is the end of his platform.
So the one thing that didn't get covered is, and I know this matters to a lot of people, he does support gay marriage. He's very for that.
I'm surprised it wasn't on their list on Politico.
I was on another list that I saw.
Okay.
See, that's why we search differently.
Right.
But another list, he's a big supporter of the LGBTQ community.
Uh-huh.
And supports gay marriage.
Okay.
So I know that's a fact for, or, you know, something that a lot of people want to look into.
Yeah, for
so.
Sure. I have to believe that entire panel believes the same.
I would say that as well, but I know that it wasn't said today.
And even despite, I believe, I mean, I know...
And he's dating Rosario Dawson.
Right. Don't forget that. Yeah, I know that there were a lot of speculation about Trump's, you know, when he got elected, what he was going to do about gay marriage, things like that. But mm-hmm. I don't think he opposes it either.
It doesn't seem like it.
He certainly hasn't tried to enact anything to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for sure, I will say with 99% of surety, that the entire Democratic field is in support of equal rights in marriage.
I just want to make sure it was said.
Thank you. Was there anything else that wasn't on this list that you had?
Probably, but I don't remember now because I got too far ranting about other things.
So. Right. Your notes are in your head.
They're in my head. Now they're scrambled.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We are now, we've given you an hour and 20 minutes on Mr. Cory Booker. So if you have friends that are looking, if you've made it this far and you have friends that are looking for some information on Cory Booker about whether or not they should vote for him. And also, if you want to know about Rosario Dawson and Elizabeth Warren drinking beer and whatever other side topics we went off on throughout the course of this episode.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. Just let them know. For those of you that don't like a long episode, sorry it's so long. For those of you that do, you're welcome. And we'll see you next week. It will not be another political candidate. We'll get into some other topic. Maybe this has really spurred a lot of... thoughts
mm-hmm.
for us to talk about. So we'll get into some of those next week. Thank you guys for joining us. Seriously, if you made it through an hour and 25 minutes of that, we love you even more. And Zach, thank you for being my friend.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, buddy. See you guys. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@BobWeavePod.com. And if you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.